If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
After the apocalypse, a pandemic survival story, season 4, episode 19, Escape. Yes, I suppose the virus trigger could have been the result of genetic engineering. That could explain things. The old man responded in disbelief. He looked bug-eyed and disoriented in this new revelation. The general sized the old man up. He looked at Janet, too. There was a long silence, like someone had said something unspeakable at a cocktail party, and the gathering was trying to decide how to respond. What was he gonna do with these two? On the surface, he appreciated their initiative. Lord knows there weren't enough competent, intelligent, and active people in the world now. He could use more doers on his team. But their independence and initiative also made them risky and potentially dangerous to his plans. He had his mission and orders. There was a new government. That was what mattered now. How did these two fit into the mission? Were they on board, or would they just be sand in the gears? He could use that doctor's experience and skill, but the guy was a loose cannon. He might need that lawyer woman, too. She was sharp and had energy, but she also seemed the type to overreach and get in the way. And neither of them understood the concept of chain of command. Would either of them follow orders? Probably not. Especially when things got tense in the midst of an action where the value of ready and quick obedience was far greater than the value of their skill and knowledge. It was a tough call. It might be better to keep them under control, at least for a little while, until things settled into place for the new government. Then, maybe, they could be rehabilitated and plugged in. The general's line of thought was broken by the returning soldier who came through the door looking sheepish. He held Maisie's leash. But Maisie wasn't attached to the other end. Instead, an empty collar dangled in the air.
"Sir, your dog slipped the leash and ran off with that other dog."
He offered an explanation.
"What do you mean, ran off?"
The soldier stiffened.
"Yes, sir. Disappeared into the bushes. I lost sight of them. Couldn't find them anywhere. What are your orders, sir?"
Then, as almost an afterthought, he asked, as politely as he could muster,
"Your bitch wouldn't happen to be in heat, would she, sir?"
The general scowled at the soldier and commanded with a fiery, hot intensity,
"Corporal, go get my damn dog back!"
But then he seemed to regain his composure, cleared his throat, and continued calmly,
"Corporal, stand down! Give me that lead and I'll go retrieve it myself."
He spoke quietly as if to himself.
"Competency seems in short supply around here. If you need something done and done right, you need to do it yourself."
The general stood, grabbing a dog whistle and a small bag of dog treats off his desk. The old man stood to and moved to block the general's escape path, gesticulating energetically. "General, for God's sake! I need that access, and I need it now!" The general looked hard at the old man, as if assessing him, and came to a conclusion. "Yes, I understand your urgency, doctor." Then he looked at the soldier and said calmly, "Corporal, I need you to take these two and confine them to quarters. Make sure they stay put until I say otherwise." "Yes, sir." The soldier responded, stepping forward and lowering his rifle slightly.
"What the hell is this?"
Janet asked scornfully.
"You gonna have a shot, Ahab? Don't be so dramatic, my dear. This is just temporary. It's for your own protection. There's too much going on for you two to be crashing about like bulls in a china shop."
"What about my samples?" the old man yelled.
"Corporal, help him put his samples in the mess hall freezer for now."
Then, addressing the old man,
"It'll be fine, doctor. I just need you to stay out of trouble for a while, and I don't think I can trust you to do that right now."
The old man and Janet both tried to object, but the general cut them off.
"That's enough. We'll discuss this later."
He continued, addressing the soldier,
"Corporal, take them to quarters and see that they stay put."
And then closed the discussion with a final declaration.
"Now I'm going to go find my damn dog."
The soldier glared at them. The old man stiffened, preparing to confront the general, maybe even to fight. Janet put her hand on his arm as if to say,
"This isn't the time."
The old man's posture changed from excited to resigned. He slumped. They both turned and allowed themselves to be herded back down the hall by the corporal. There was a darkness and a desperation to their attitude as they moved, like prisoners being led by gendarmes to the guillotine. Looking around in their despondence for one last chance of pardon or opportunity to escape, and finding only the waiting platform and the weighted blade. Brent entered the general's office. He had been asked to join the team for a briefing. The pending meeting weighed on him all day. Something about his earlier conversation with the general was bothering him, and he couldn't put a finger on it, but he pushed his ruminating thoughts aside and tried to relax, to be present, to be an observer, to listen and make rational decisions based on what happened and what he could learn and what was in his power to influence. One of the intelligence officers Brent had trained under had harped on the importance of controlling your state of mind. He used to say, "First, control your state, then control your story, and only then can you make your strategy. Otherwise, you're emotionally reacting to events and making bad decisions." Brent knew he needed to show up today. The general and the fire team were already there, spread out around the room. They all turned to look at Brent as he entered. He felt like he was being assessed. He stood straighter despite himself. Maisie lay on a dog bed in the corner, licking herself and looking bedraggled from her outdoor adventure with Bill. The men were at rest. Two sat on the general's couch. Two stood against the wall by the window. One, with a corporal's insignia, who seemed to be the leader, sat in a guest chair near the general's desk. The general began with introductions.
Captain Dominion, come in, at ease. Let me introduce you to the team. This is Corporal Dominguez and PFCs Jackson, Miller, Abrazo, and Bell. Gentlemen, this is my number two, Captain Dominion.
Brent nodded. The men in the room acknowledged him. The general continued.
Captain, the corporal and his men have been sent to help us secure our position locally. I want you to help them.
Brent came forward and sat in the second empty guest chair next to Corporal Dominguez.
Of course, sir. Whatever you need. What's the plan? I want you to brief the team on everything you know about the local situation.
The general said, smoothing out a paper map on his desk.
Where the communities are, their numbers, and their leadership.
It seemed like a logical request to Brent if these men were here to help coordinate with and protect the local communities. Then they needed all the intelligence they could get. These were professional soldiers. They could keep the bandits and chaos at bay and let the local communities focus their energy on building back. Brent was frankly relieved. He had been wondering about the general's motives and all his talk about martial law, but it was starting to make sense now. With this added professional strength, they could all grow together towards a new future. The new government would build legitimacy with the locals by providing protection and security, like they traditionally had always done since the time of kings. It made sense. He felt a sense of teamwork and camaraderie that he'd been missing since his deployment days. Brent began to walk them through the lay of the land. He circled the cities that were either abandoned or controlled by feuding gangs. He identified the areas where he had not yet ventured and imagined the phrase, "There be dragons," written with drawings of fanciful sea monsters, like on an old pirate map. Finally, he laid out and notated the D.C., the campus, and even the Boomer's mobile home park. He explained the security and leadership the organizations had formed to protect themselves from the chaos. He talked through everything he knew, everything he had learned on his diplomatic forays, concise and simple. Everything these men would need to work well with the locals. Along the way, the corporal asked clarifying questions and confirmed what Brent said by restating to make sure he had it right. Brent was impressed by the man's focus, intelligence, and professionalism. This obviously wasn't the corporal's first rodeo. Brent concluded the briefing with suggestions on how to best deploy the men to help the local communities protect themselves from incursion and offered to make introductions to get the process of collaboration started.
"Thank you, Captain,"
the general said and turned to the corporal.
"Your assessment, Corporal? Seems straightforward, sir. If the captain can get us in, we should be able to take control of everything."
He nodded.
"Shouldn't be any trouble."
Alarm bells started to go off in Brent's mind. Had he misheard the corporal?
"What? What do you mean, take control?"
Brent stammered, caught by surprise. The general looked at him and said,
"Captain Dominion, we're going to put our own people in charge of these communities, at least temporarily. It's the safest and most efficient way to operate."
He paused and added with the directness of an order,
"And you're going to help us, son, so no one gets hurt." "But these people aren't a threat, sir. They need our help. that will work with us. In my opinion, sir, taking control is unnecessary and might be seen as a hostile act."
The general displayed an unnerving calmness and responded evenly.
"I understand, Captain. That's why you're gonna help us. We'd much rather have a smooth, safe, conflict-free transition of power. But, sir, why do we need to do this at all? Why now?"
The general leaned forward and spoke slowly, like he was explaining something to a 4-year-old.
"Son, we can't have armed, fortified positions and private armies within our zone of control. That inevitably leads to bloodshed. Surely you know this from your training. We can protect them better than they can protect themselves. We need to put professionals in charge."
Brent rolled this around in his head. In the balance, the general was technically right. It was by the book. But he doubted any administrators that the general put in place would be more effective than what Mags was doing. And he knew she wouldn't give up control without a fight.
"I don't like this approach, General, sir. I don't think Mags is just going to give up control. Son, I know you have a relationship with that woman, and that's fine. But don't think with your Johnson. If you want to help these people, this is the way. You're saving lives. It's the right thing, and it's your duty to your country."
"Yes, sir," Brent said, adopting a mask of agreement and acquiescence. But he was troubled. He felt like he was letting the coyotes into the chicken coop. No, more like leading the coyotes into the coop. What had he done? What the general was asking for was a betrayal, wasn't it? It was Brent's job. It was his duty. But it was a betrayal of people who trusted him. And there was one specific person who he didn't want to betray, especially after all he'd been through, after all the world had been through. It didn't feel right. But what felt right anymore? All his life he'd been fighting for and doing what he thought was right, and now he wasn't sure what that was. The old man sat in a vinyl lounge chair and flipped through an old copy of National Geographic. The slick pages were bright with pictures of jungles, pyramids, and vibrant ocean scenes. He looked at a frozen clock on the wall. "What time do you think it is? Gotta be after dark by now. We should probably get some sleep." Time moved differently in the apocalypse. Everyone had reverted to the ancient hunter-gatherer rhythms of rising with the sun and sleeping after it set. It wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It felt somehow more human to the old man. Janet wasn't listening to him.
"We've got to get out of here," she said.
She was pacing back and forth in the bunker conference room where they were confined.
"Martial law? I'm not going to take this crap from these jackbooted thugs."
"You're just getting yourself riled up," the old man said, tossing the magazine onto a low table. "It makes sense if you think about it. He just wants to get everything under control and back on track."
"What are you saying?"
Janet snapped.
"That we should work with him?"
"Why not? How is what he's doing any different than JFK invoking the Insurrection Act to enforce desegregation?"
"I don't like it. Feels like a dictatorship,"
Janet responded. "Well, of course. Dictators were empowered in much the same way by the Romans to effectively confront national crises. How is this not a national crisis?"
I still don't like it, she said. And enough with the historiography. This isn't an academic exercise. Don't you get it? We've been imprisoned. Our basic liberties have been taken from us by force, and you're blabbering about Romans?
Call your jets, lady. I agree with you. We need to get out of here, especially because I need to find out about the plague trigger. I just don't think we're in any imminent danger. Do you have a plan?
I don't know. Do you think we can force this door or dig through one of these walls or climb through a vent or something? Then we can sneak out of here and warn the others.
How about if one of us fakes an illness, like pitch a fit or something? Then, when they take us to the infirmary, we can break out. Always works in the movies.
This isn't a movie, and you're definitely not Tom Cruise. What do you think are chances of taking them by surprise and overpowering the guard next time they check on us?
Maybe you can, but I'm pretty sure that dude with the tattoo would kick my ass.
What are we gonna do?
Janet slumped down into a couch, exasperated, the vinyl cushions squeaking with an outrush of air.
These guys are an existential threat. We need to get out of here and find some leverage, a way to get back in control of the situation.
Listen, Janet, I've been thinking about this. I'm not going to get the help I need here, obviously. He scowled. But if I don't figure out this disease, none of these political carnival antics will matter. You'll all be on borrowed time. The sword of Damocles will be hanging by a horsehair over anything you build. The clock is ticking. The virus is lurking, waiting to trigger and wipe out the next generation, too.
He shook his head and rubbed his face with hoary, vain hands.
The kid's baby, Jen's baby, all the babies are depending on me. I need to get out of here and go someplace where they'll help me find a fix for this thing.
Just then, there was a hollow clicking sound of the conference door being unlocked. Janet tensed. The old man stood. They both turned toward the door and prepared to face whatever new threat was arriving, but they relaxed slightly as Brent appeared instead of one of the soldiers.
Come to interrogate the prisoners, Captain?
Janet asked.
Bamboo shoots under the fingernails, Brent?
The old man added.
No, I need your help,
he said solemnly. Janet and the old man glanced at each other. Brent continued.
The general is planning to take over the D.C., and I've got to warn Mags.
He said conspiratorially.
Oh, and I found your dog.
Bill the dog trotted in behind Brent with a sheepish look on his face. He was covered in sticks and leaves, his curly hair matted with mud. The old man looked at Bill and grinned.
Way to take that hill, Marine!
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, my survivor friends. Did we all survive the eclipse apocalypse this week? And this week, for you time travelers, would be the second week of April in 2024, hence the solar eclipse reference. I was not in the path of totality, but I was fairly close to it, and it was a bright sunny day, and the sudden dimming of the sun during the eclipse was awesome, in the true meaning of the word. You can easily see how pre-science cultures would have been terrified by this act of God. And who knows, maybe this will inspire a renewed generational interest in science instead of flat earth and religious reaction. Speaking of religious reactionaries, I got out to see the new Dune movie last week. I liked it. It's slick and beautiful, and it tells a good story. I can remember reading the original books, probably in the 1980s somewhere, and I was sucked into the narrative. I was not able to put them down. I remember this, and that says something about the power, inventiveness, and craft of this narrative, that it could grab a scatterbrain like me by the throat and hold me down for hours on end. That's unique. There are only a few books that were able to do that, and this was one of them. This second movie, it was long. I noticed that many people in the theater, including me, had to get up and visit the restroom. I couldn't make it. So you might consider adult diapers if you want to get through without missing anything. Ha ha. Having read the books, especially the first book, I knew where the narrative ended, and was surprised that they got there. With 30 minutes left in the movie, I turned to my daughter and I whispered, "They're not going to even make it through the first book." But they did. Those last 30 minutes were a sprint to the finish. Now, I won't spoil anything, but I will share some random thoughts, because most of my thoughts are random. First, why is everyone wearing cod pieces? Is this going to be a new fashion trend? Are we all going to wear cod pieces now? Do you need extra protection for your junk in the desert of Arrakis? Second, even with my scant experience in these things, I know that making love in the sand is tricky at best. Third, they were walking down a very narrow path with all the religious overtones. Back in 1965, when the first book came out, no one outside of Damascus probably had heard about jihad, and it was a safe literary artifice. Today, not so much. But they did the best they could. The religious stuff did seem a bit of a parody at times. That's what I got for you. I did like the movie. I liked it a lot. See it on the big screen if you can, because it's rich and lush and loves the scenery. Really chews it up. Beautiful movie. Second, I watched a movie almost entirely by accident this week called Jojo Rabbit from 2019 by Taika Waititi. And this was a brilliant little gem of a movie. I am not going to spoil it for you. Just go watch it. It hits a bunch of buttons. It's beautifully shot. And Taika Waititi is a genius storyteller with a brilliant sense of humor. But also with this edge of fearlessness. And you probably know Taika Waititi from maybe his breakout film, What We Do in the Shadows, his vampire mockumentary from 2014, which was excellent. And it spawned a series on FX, which I think is entering its sixth season. I have not seen any of it, but I see it go by. Or maybe you will know his big-time directorial debut, Thor Ragnarok from 2017. And yes, he is not only a genius, but a prolific genius. So go watch Jojo Rabbit, or any Taika Waititi production for that matter, and you will not be disappointed. And that's it for me this week. Next episode will be the last episode of Season 4, if I can pull it off. It's a bit like painting a floor, where now I've painted myself into a corner and have to find an avenue of escape. Come over and join us on the Facebook group. All of these notes with the links to all this stuff are in the show notes and posted on my website at oldmanapocalypse.com. After this season ends, in a couple of weeks, we will begin producing other stories for a couple months as I plan out the final season and work on the big teetering pile of other odds and ends that clutter my life and loom over me like a heavy, unbalanced monster in the corner of my office. There is still time for you to send in a story if you want something produced. Thank you for listening and putting up with me. I always love to hear from you, so send me a note. Send me a story. Love you guys to the moon and back, even when it crosses directly in front of the sun. So keep your special eclipse glasses handy, and whatever you do, keep surviving. 795 words.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.